PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Hey guys, it's Chris here, and we are super excited to tell you that Orange Blossom Brewing has come on as a sponsor for Cinema Crespediso for the next month. Isn't that super cool? And this is like a real, for real sponsorship, guys. So here's a for real commercial for them, which means I'm going to tell you, Orange Blossom Pilsner, their delicious beer, is made with 2.3 teaspoons of real orange blossom honey in every single can. And it doesn't make it sweet, it makes it crisp and refreshing and delicious because that honey gets fermented. And OBP will be available in 16-ounce cans pretty soon. What? That's pretty wild, guys. Get ready to kick up your parties that extra notch with 16-ounce OBP. Also, the summer is here, perfect for toasted coconut porter, the dark beer that you can take to the beach, that toasted coconut flavor. It's so just the right amount and perfect, just the it's so delicious. I love it. It makes me think of the tropics in the summer and having a good time and relaxing. I can definitely recommend toasted coconut porter. And for people who love your IPAs, you hop heads, Tom made the perfect drinkable IPA. It is not so overpowering that it's going to knock you on your butt, and it's not going to turn people away. Instead, it's a 1990s American-style IPA called Back in the Day IPA. And Back in the Day IPA is delicious, and I can definitely recommend people check that one out as well. Anything with the OBP brand on it, anything made by Orange Blossom Brewing, try it. They're delicious. You're going to love them. Perfect summer beers. We are super glad to have them on board. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Keep an eye out for those 16-ounce cans. Take some pictures. Share them with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We love to see them. Thanks, guys. Morning, Drew.
Morning, Chris.
Morning.
I hope that helps you whenever and wherever you are.
Have we ever recorded this early?
This early? I don't think so.
Yeah, it's early.
I mean, it's not. It's really not, Chris.
Man, it's so early.
Normally, at this point in time, I'm halfway done with work.
Oh, I'm so tired.
I've only got 4 hours to go. I've already been at work for five.
Nice coffee.
Only four more to go. My day's halfway over at this point in time.
I feel better. Well, now your day's just beginning.
Yeah, because it's the weekend.
And we're going to be talking about it. Solo. Colon.
A Star Wars story.
A Star Wars story. There should be little clap emojis in the on the poster.
No, I don't know about that.
In the title card when it pops up on the screen, it's coming at you. Clap, 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 clap.
I mean, there was a lot of clap.
A lot of clapping.
Chris.
They applauded the Lucasfilms logo.
Chris, I am so sick of the fanboys. I'm sick of the clapping.
The fan people. It's mostly boys, but yes.
I'm sick of the clapping at the Lucasfilm logo. I'm sick of the clapping every time you see a character.
One guy went, Lucasfilm!
Like, this doesn't happen with other things. Like, every time people see Tom Hardy in a movie, they're like, oh yeah, fucking Tom Hardy! Woo, yeah! Well,
depends on the movie. I
mean, unless it's the Venom trailer. Dude, I am surprised.
I got a positive reaction.
Sidetrack! Sidetrack. Sidetrack. When the Venom trailer played in front of that packed Solo audience.
It's pretty packed theater, yeah.
They all seemed to really like it.
They got a positive response.
And this is the first time I've seen the extended trailer. Now it looks
slightly
like,
longer, yeah.
It's slightly longer. They're starting to weave some other story elements into it.
Yeah.
So you can, you know, kind of... And it's still just...
It looks like the worst hunk
of shit.
It doesn't look good. I'm like, at the end of the trailer, I was like, why is Michelle Williams in this? What did she see? Did she just want to work with Tom Hardy? Why?
Why is Tom Hardy in this?
Oh, this was Tom Hardy's idea.
Well, he should have gotten...
It was his idea. Remember, we reported on this a while ago, Drew, that he did a thing.
Did he know the writers?
I don't know if he knew the writer. He's one of the producers.
But
it's his idea. I'm telling you, he was sitting around with a bunch of people, and they had all these characters that were available to them to work with via Sony.
Like, hey, we're going to use Venom.
And he did an interview where he's like, we're going to announce soon something in the comic book world that we're going to do. It's a big character that's just sitting there that no one's touching, and we're going to do something with it. Well, and then, like, 9 months later, it was announced that he was doing the Venom movie.
I mean, it sounded like a great idea.
Yeah, it's a horror film. It's R-rated.
R-rated.
The trailers don't show that.
All of that. It all sounds fantastic.
Woody Harrelson's going to play Carnage.
And then I watch... And then I see this weird black thing hop out of his chest and out of his back.
Yeah, what was that?
And then I watch the Venom face come on with the horrible voiceover saying, "We are Venom."
Yeah,
and it's just... Venom. Like, that's supposed to be the moment where you're like, yes!
Yeah.
And for me, that's the moment where I'm like, no.
No. Oh, that's the wrong one. That's what I was looking for.
It's just... the more I see of this movie, the more I don't like it.
Right, yeah. Well, people in the theater, weirdly, yeah, they're into it.
Well, that just means they have no taste.
They applauded for that, and then they applauded for Lucasfilms. One guy went, Lucasfilms! And then the movie started, and they were applauding for everything.
You know what, Chris? Maybe these movies just aren't made for me. Maybe that's what it is.
I think that's what it is.
I don't think I'm the target audience anymore.
Not anymore. Nope.
Even when I was the target audience...
You aged out.
I didn't really...
You weren't in.
No.
The target audience, I was the 90s. What, they were making Spawn and...
Oh, God, they were all so awful.
If you were 15 years old now, you may be a little more receptive to a...
Well, yeah, I mean, because I guess in the 90s, they tried all this nonsense. They tried the video game movies. They tried the comic book movies, and they just failed.
All of them.
All of them.
Yeah. Up until X-Men was the real... Well, I mean...
And even still.
Your Superman movies, really, 70s, 80s, and then Batman was always successful until it wasn't.
Yeah.
But, anyway. So, Star Wars 3. Spoiler alert! Oh, wrong button. Look, I added so many buttons. I got drunk.
Spoiler alert, Chris doesn't know where his buttons are.
I don't know if I got drunk or high or whatever, but I added, like, all these extra buttons.
He's a bad button man.
Now I have to relearn.
Worst button man of all time, Chris.
Gotta relearn the board. Aww. All right. So, all the spoilers are coming. If you don't want to know who lives, who dies, what happens, et cetera, et cetera, then
Chris,
heads up.
So here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
If you have half a brain.
If you have a quarter of a brain.
Then you know for a fact, well, Han Solo doesn't die.
Duh.
Chewbacca doesn't die.
Duh.
Any character that you've that Lando. Pops up
Lando.
In an older movie, you know, doesn't die.
Right.
Everybody else, game on.
Everyone else dead. Practically.
Like, everybody else, game on. They can all live, die. It doesn't matter.
Almost everyone dies.
And as soon as... Because Tandy Newton was kind of pressed hard in the marketing for this movie.
And Jon Favreau was all of his characters all up in the marketing. They had their own posters.
So when they both died, like, 45 minutes into the film,
yeah.
I was like, well.
In their second scene,
yeah,
or third scene.
Exactly. I was like, okay, well then, I guess this is how this movie's going to play out.
I was like, all right, we're just going to be killing everyone else around them.
Yeah.
So everyone dies except for, obviously, the people you know.
Yeah.
And Emilia Clarke.
And Khaleesi.
Khaleesi.
Well, because she's some other dragons. She can't die.
Dragons can't die. And who else lived? There was another... Even the droid, L3.
Yeah, dude, actually, that was surprisingly one of the better scenes of the film.
Like, why is this thing... Like, why is it like...
Was that... Oh, man. Who was the voice actor for that?
Yeah, who was the voice actress for L3? Because...
Okay, not who I thought it was.
Who did you think it was?
In my head, I'm like...
Charlize Theron.
I'm like, this is Brienne of Tarth.
You know what? Well, I initially heard that as well.
I think maybe it was just the way that the robot carried herself.
It was a bigger robot and the way
a
she was talking.
A bad bitch!
For some reason, I was like, that sounds like Brianna Tarth.
Yeah.
Then I also know that Brianna Tarth is already in... She's Captain Phasma.
Yeah, yeah.
So she can't be the voice
of
the
She is Phoebe... It was Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
This is her face. I've never seen her before. I don't recognize her.
From England. She's from England. Yeah. Phoebe Waller-Bridge. Well, she's from England, so it's probably like Wallbridge. Phoebe Wallbridge. Did you know in England, St. John Smith is pronounced St. John Smith?
Sure.
So, Wallbridge.
Sure.
Phoebe Yeah, L3, the droid that was fighting for equal rights.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yo, L3, anything you need? Equal rights.
Equal rights. And then...
Cold.
Shook his head. Damn it, L3. I was talking about, like, a can of oil or something. So, Solo. I'm surprised we didn't get an entire backstory about the dice. Because we got...
Oh, Jesus.
Because we got explanations and backstories on everything else.
Dude, this... This movie had a weird mix of, like, cool and original stuff.
Yeah.
That, like, I was like, whoa, what the fucking... Where is this coming from?
Mm.
And then fan service. Like, fan service. And in my head, I'm like, cool stuff, Lord Miller. Fan service, Ron Howard.
No, well, I wouldn't say necessarily Ron Howard. Ron Howard is a hired gun in this one.
I know, but that's...
Lawrence Kasdan, the dude who wrote the screenplay, which I was actually trying to remind myself partway through the movie, no matter who directed it, the screenplay stayed the same.
Okay.
So all that fan service stuff, Kasdan, probably, it would have been in there anyway.
Okay.
But you're probably right. The cooler stuff, original stuff, interesting choices, probably Lord Miller.
Yeah.
Everything else... Kasdan, Ron Howard just came in and made sure Kasdan shit got done.
And done well.
And then,
he
throws in his brother.
No, exactly. Once I saw Clint, I was like, oh yeah, Ron Howard!
Yeah. It's like, yeah, Clint, cool.
Clint's always in his movies, and I love seeing Clint Howard.
I saw a still image of Clint on the set.
Okay.
I think Ron put it on Twitter, Instagram, or something, and some website reported.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look at that, he got his... That's awesome.
Of course he did.
Good for him. Good for nepotism. We got, like, do we need to know that he had a Ellis Island style naming ritual for
Solo? I know. Yeah, no, exactly. But and who are your people? He's like, I'm alone. And in my head, immediately, I'm like, I know exactly what's coming. Yeah, I cannot believe this is where we're starting.
Yeah,
this movie.
As soon as he said alone, I was like, oh, and the guy's like, Solo. Let me see. Okay, well,
Solo. Like, and it's just like, oh, lame.
Yeah, that was really corny.
The fact that the coolest. So I love how the coolest parts of Han Solo, A, are not original, and B, never came from him. His last name. Some random dude called him Solo.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
His iconic blaster came from the guy who trained him. It's his.
Beckett. Beckett, yeah. Woody Harrelson's character.
And the Millennium Falcon, he won from Lando Calrissian. That's Lando Calrissian's ship. So the three coolest things about Han Solo have nothing to do with him, aren't his, aren't original.
Well, he is a scruffy, nerf-herding smuggler, you know.
Is he, though?
I mean, he's about to be.
I mean, in all reality,
it Solo begins.
From what I'm,
it's the Casino Royale.
From what I'm getting from this movie, Han Solo is nowhere near as cool as we think he is. He's just kind of lucky.
Yeah, that emphasizes luck a lot with the dice thing and all that. And
yeah. Like, he makes some really poor decisions that end up in his favor. I mean, in the end of the movie, he had a good plan. I'll give him that. He had a good plan. Mm-hmm. He had some foresight. It all worked out for him. And that was all him.
And he learned to shoot first.
Yeah. Another part of the fan service.
That's another fan service.
The second they were talking, I was like, Han shoots first.
When they're talking at the end when he started monologuing on him?
Yeah, when they started monologuing, I was like, Han shoots first. I don't know how long it's going to be, but Han shoots first.
When Woody Harrelson's character, Beckett, when the head of that... group of thieves, when he was sitting down with Chewie and playing that hologram chess fan service, and then he was like, you gotta be moves ahead and anticipate, blah blah blah. I was like, alright, so how is this? Who's
exactly?
And then Han Solo walks by and hears, I'm like, alright, so what's it gonna happen? What's it gonna happen? And then it ends up being
part of the fan service that I actually did enjoy how Han and Chewie met.
That worked.
That actually worked really well and was pretty cool.
That worked, and it worked like.
No, it straight up
that,
worked.
Yeah, because that didn't feel like just fan service, just figured this out. It was like, no, this is a part of the story. This is really how they met and how a friendship forged through necessity.
Yeah.
So he, so to set that up, in case people are listening who haven't seen the movie, because people do that.
Oh, yeah.
This is their version of watching the movie. So the movie opens with him. He's on the streets of Corellia. And he's like
he's in a fast car that he just boosted.
So I guess he's supposed to be like a teenager.
But he
looks exactly the same the whole movie.
I mean, exactly. Well, he says a
and
young man.
And it spans
man.
A few years.
Well, no. And he, but
oh,
he,
is he a young man? Do they say young
yeah,
man?
Yeah, they say young man. But here's the thing.
In the opening.
It almost seems that there's really only so far they can take this solo prequel stuff. Because they Harrison Ford was pretty young when they first...
Early 30s, probably the same age. I'm looking up Alden Ehrenreich's
first
age.
Did, you know, when they first did it, so... And not only that, but they almost immediately are like, we are really close to A New Hope here. They're like, listen, at the end of the movie, he's like, go to Tatooine, talk to... He didn't say Jabba the Hutt, but he basically says, talk to Jabba the Hutt.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how long does Solo really work for Jabba the Hutt before the whole Star Wars thing starts? I mean, it can't be that. Can't be more than a couple years. It's well, not like a decade or anything.
Well, okay. Aaron Reich has said, who's 28 years old, by the way, roughly the same age as Ford when he first did Solo, his Han Solo. He said he signed on for 3 movies, so they're making 3 Han Solo
that's
films.
Be close. So, and they better do them quick, or Alden Ehrenreich's all of a sudden going to look older than.
No, not necessarily. Because all right, so let's see. He's 28 now. How old was? Harrison Ford, how he was born. All right, Drew, you need to do this math because he was born in the year 1942.
Okay, 42. And then Star Wars came out in what?
77.
77.
So 76 is when they filmed it.
So he was 34.
6 years.
They got 6 years to make 3 movies.
Easy. Doable.
Okay.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. And Aaron Reich's got one of these fucking babies. Can he grow a beard? I don't even think he can grow a beard.
That's fine. Han Solo never had facial hair.
I don't think Harrison Ford grow a beard either.
Mm. No, that's probably what it is. He's probably got that patchy beard, doesn't he?
Probably.
Mm.
Guys, just gotta let that shit grow for like 6-8 months, and then it fills in nicely. You'd be surprised how many of these thick bearded dudes out there were walking around with gross patches for the longest time. So he's running the streets of Corellia, right? That was the name of the planet.
Yeah.
How come he wasn't Han Corellian? You know, I'm alone. I'm from Corellia. Han Corellian.
Because then he wouldn't be Han Solo, Chris.
Because then. So he's running the streets. There's this weird Lady Proxima character,
yeah, Lady
that's
like, which is like
a gangster,
yeah,
sort of,
which is like some underwater snake lady,
underwater snake slug lady monster thing, mm-hmm,
that doesn't like sunlight
because it yeah, it's like vampiric, it burns. So that's how he gets out throwing a rock at the window, mm-hmm, and that was, you know, right,
yeah, no, he meets up with Emilia Clarke. They find out that they're lovers. Doing their thing,
yes.
Trying to get off Corellia.
Cersei is also like a street urchin. And
yeah.
It's
not Cersei.
Not Cersei.
Khaleesi?
Khaleesi.
Yes, is a street urchin.
Street urchin. Yeah. Street urchin Khaleesi.
And then, so they steal some shit, try to make it through. Mm. Solo gets out. She does not.
Yes, when they bribed their way out. Yeah. And then that's also, they introduce this whole, the MacGuffin of the movie, Coaxium.
Yeah, it's hyperspace fuel.
Hyperspace fuel. Yeah, it's that blue stuff. It's hyperspace fuel.
No.
Coaxium. And so he gets out of the Corellia's. Yeah, right. You're right. So then immediately he figures, my way to get her back is I need a ship. In order to get a ship, I need to become a pilot to do that. I need to join the military.
Well, no, I think.
Right? How quickly?
Because the stormtroopers are coming for him. Like
that too.
Somebody came through. He needs a way just to get out.
That's true, too.
So he sees the quickest way out is...
To sign up for the military.
Sign up for the military. Get the fuck... You know what? I can become a pilot here. Maybe they'll train me to be a pilot.
Yeah.
At least I will get out of this situation because, in all reality, that's as far as Han Solo ever thinks.
So then that's how he gets the Han Solo name. When the military officer is like, all right, here's your name.
What's your name? And then, who are your people? I don't have any.
Solo. Logged in. Boop, boop. Get in there. Smash cut 3 years later.
Yeah, exactly. Smash cut 3 years later, he is...
Infantry,
mud planet,
trench
war.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got World War One, but in the future, kind of.
Yeah, so apparently Solo goes to World War One planet.
Yep.
That's the entire planet. For
well, no, it's not
we
World
know.
War One planet. It's just, it seems that trench warfare, it seems to be the way it's working on this one. And
yeah, but you know how it's
he's part of the expanding empire.
Yeah, but you know how Hoth is like, it's all frozen. Tatooine is all desert, yeah. Right? Forest, everything's like one thing.
This thing is all mud.
It's all trench warfare.
Ugh, shitty. Worst planet ever.
That's why they can't figure it out.
I mean, in all reality, what this movie is going parallel to episode...
No, I think it's leading up. It's leading up to everything. This is before all that stuff.
It can't.
It has to be because
Darth Vader.
No, not because of Darth Vader. What do you mean Darth Vader?
So Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader. He starts off this whole thing. It can't. This movie cannot be before episode one because Darth Vader is older than everybody.
Yeah, sure.
So it can't.
So it's happening concurrent with
episode three? But it can't because... Spoiler alert, Darth Maul makes an appearance at the end of the movie. So Darth Maul has to be alive. Darth Maul dies in episode two?
One.
Episode one?
Yeah.
Darth Maul dies in episode one?
Yep.
So Han Solo's older than Darth Vader.
No, because episode one, Darth Vader's a child, man, right?
He's Anakin Skywalker.
Well, no, we don't know Darth Maul's age.
But he dies. In episode one, he's dead. He's alive in this movie.
Right. So confusing.
So, how old is Han Solo, and how young is Darth Vader? There's a weird age gap now because of this movie.
I feel like we're missing something here.
We're not missing anything.
We're
not missing anything.
Darth Vader dies in episode one, in which
Darth Maul.
Darth Maul dies in episode one, Darth Vader is Anakin. He's just a kid.
I don't think. Yeah,
for sure, because that's when Qui-Gon Jinn and right, they kill him.
Yeah.
Or Obi-Wan kills him?
Qui-Gon.
They kill each other.
No, I don't think so.
Who dies and what?
Oh, man. I gotta find him when Darth Maul dies.
See, we're not Star Wars nerdy enough to know all this shit.
But him popping up...
It also really didn't look like him. Like, he looked fatter.
Yeah, it was definitely a different actor.
Yeah, I was like, that's not Ray Park. Ray Park's probably not even making movies anymore. He was just a martial artist who... did a bunch of, like, direct-to-video stuff and then had a tiny run as Darth Maul.
Episode one.
And, what's this other movie?
Yeah, X-Men. Episode one, The Phantom Menace.
The Phantom Menace. The Phantom Menace.
So, well, I mean, maybe it's not Darth Maul. Maybe it's just another... Same race. Another Sith Lord. But because seriously, if that is the case, if Darth Maul, and they put that in there, if Darth Maul did die in episode one, we're talking Anakin Skywalker here. That means Anakin Skywalker is a child. Darth Vader's a child when Han Solo is a young man, which completely fucks up the entire timeline.
Yeah, that, man.
Right, I wonder how nobody noticed that.
Well, then,
Were they just so tied up in fan service?
Okay, well, let me see. When I went to Google when did Darth Maul die, the first article comes up 2 days ago, Vanity Fair, Solo, : how is Darth Maul alive for this Star Wars movie, Vanity Fair?
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
Maybe it's not him. Is it credited as Darth Maul in the credits?
Good question. Hang on, let's find out.
Yeah, check them out. IMDb credits. Yeah, because that was... Yeah, man.
Just realized that, by the way.
That's so funny.
So anyway, what were we talking about?
We were talking about how Solo, after getting his dumb name, went to Trench Warfare Planet.
Yeah, and
that's when he meets Woody Harrelson, Thandie Newton, and a little alien character with multiple arms voiced by Jon Favreau. And they're in disguise as military to rob a bunch of coaxium for their boss, played by Vision. Mm-hmm. And Vision with, like, crazy scars on his face. And, like, he looked like he had some sort of power or something. Or did he just get really angry and his eyes got
at the
red?
End? No, seriously, I think that might be the Sith influence.
Oh, he was just kind of Sithy.
Because he was...
Because then it reveals that they're here.
Well, no, because here's the... And that's actually why it took me back to all these original movies. Because I remember... And when it was running concurrently. Because they were talking about everything being run by the syndicates.
Yes,
and
that crime syndicates.
And that was really heavy in the second and third Star Wars movie, where the syndicates were helping the Sith.
Interesting. Because then what was throwing me was at the end when he Han Solo pays off the group of people.
Yeah, she's basically starting the rebellion.
Yeah, she was like, this will start a rebellion. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, it's the start of the rebellion. But when does the rebellion actually start? Is the rebellion already going in the prequels? No, because that's when the Empire is being established.
Exactly. And expanding.
Okay. So the whole Darth Maul thing is right.
Yeah, that really fucks up the entire Star Wars timeline.
Of all the characters they could have... See, that's also a problem. Now they're making Star Wars... It's a gigantic universe, galaxy far, far away. They're making, like, the world's smallest little universe. So many characters are so interconnected. There's no... It needs to be a big universe, and they're just making it smaller and smaller.
Exactly, yeah. It needs to be bigger.
That's a weird choice.
It's a universe.
Yeah, it's a really weird choice. It's like, no, everything's even more connected than you ever thought it was. Like, I don't want it to be that way.
Yeah.
I want it to be sprawling. So that's when he meets up with those guys. And then, but they kind of betray him. They're like, hey, this dude's a deserter. So they throw Han Solo in the brink to be eaten by the beast.
Which is Chewbacca.
Big reveal that it's Chewbacca.
Well, and luckily for Han Solo, he speaks a little bit of Wookiee.
Which,
that almost seemed like it was...
It's very borderline.
Inserted. Yeah, that was the only part. Yeah. But the whole rest of that scene...
The rest of the scene was great, but yeah. That was when he's like... Yeah. And then they had to subtitle it. I'm like, this is...
Yeah. And then it made me really angry that they didn't subtitle every time Chewbacca talked. Because they did it that part.
Well, then they just went back to...
The regular, yeah.
He's... And then someone reacts in a way that you know what he's saying. He's like, yeah, you're right. We are going to die, Chewie. He's like, oh, why did Chewie say that we're going to die? Yeah, they said, we got to come up with a nickname for you. Surprised he was like, oh, we'll call you a Hairy Balls or something.
Well, no, I mean...
Try to come up with some bad nicknames before.
Actually, he didn't even...
And then Beckett's the first one to call him Chewie.
They didn't even... Han Solo didn't even... Called him Chewie. He was just like, he just said, we need to shorten that.
Yeah, well, he's like, we need to come,
yeah. We just need to come up with something quick. We need to shorten that up.
I can't say Chewbacca every time. And then at the end of the movie, when she's like, Kira, Queen of Mother of Dragons, when she's talking to Han Solo, and she's like, I'm gonna go get Chewbacca. When she says that,
Chewbacca's going to need you.
Yeah, Chewbacca needs you. And she said that, and she had so such sincerity. I was watching, I was like, that must have been a weird day on that set. It's like, all right, I have to pretend that Chewbacca is real and this is emotional, okay? Chewbacca needs you. Sorry, I'm just, all right, take two. Here we go. Chewbacca needs you. God damn it.
Well, she's used to saying silly names on Game of Thrones.
Khaleesi, John. Yeah, fucking goddamn acting so silly. It's all so silly.
It is.
So yeah, they can, he, by talking Wookiee, is like, yo, be cool, bro. Let's get out of here together.
Yep.
Which they do. They become bros. Get on, the ship that Woody Harrelson's gang is stealing.
Yep.
They're on their way to their heist, right? So there's like, yo, let us help. In. I want in. Let's do this. I need some money.
Muscle too, by the way.
I got some muscle. They're like, well, we need the muscle. So I guess we're bringing the schmuck along. And, his whole plan is they have enough money to buy a ship to go back to the homeworld to find Kira.
Correct.
None of that ends up mattering when they end up at the same party together, and then she's like, oh, yeah, I'm just here working for these bad dudes. This
syndicate. By the way, I work for the Red Dawn.
The
Crimson Dawn. And therefore, I'm owned by a Sith Lord. The Sith...
At the very end, it's a Thor thing.
You don't want to fuck with the Sith.
Yeah. Well, she kept saying, like, you don't know who I am, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Han doesn't listen.
Never does.
One of the best scenes in the movie is when, after they meet Lando and they get on the Millennium Falcon and she's trying on the capes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a sort of similar to, like, definitely a callback to Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Han and Leia, you know, in the hallways of that base. That was an effective scene. They actually, these two have pretty good chemistry. Yeah. It's well written, you know. Apparently, the moment where, like, he takes the cape out of her hand, and instead of hanging it up, like, just throws it on the ground.
Yeah.
George Lucas was on set that day, and they were kind of having a little bit of trouble with that moment. He was with him hanging it back up, and Lucas was like, he never speaks up, apparently, but he was like, I got a suggestion for Han. He should throw that shit on the ground. Like, he wouldn't be hanging it up. He would grab it and throw it on the ground. And like, all right, let's do it that way. And they did. It's like, yes, that's it. So.
A little bit of insight from Lucas. I mean, he did create the character.
It is. When Ron Howard described it, he said he even, like, took on the mannerism of Han Solo and became him. And he was reminded, oh, yeah, this is the guy who created the character. It's his character.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. It was cool that he was there on set and not... necessarily in an advisory capacity, no, but just
fucking around,
but still willing to be like, hey man, you know, maybe you might want to.
I mean, that's actually that's kind of like the vibe I got watching George Lucas on that James Cameron show.
Oh, is it really?
He sits down with George Lucas just and he's like, Yeah, he's like, I don't have a lot going on right now. He's just kind of bored. He's like, hey, but you called, so let's talk. Come on, let's do this. Pick my brain.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just trying to make that, like, museum. And
well, I mean, dude, he is...
He's probably just doing a lot of philanthropy behind the scenes.
He's so filthy. He doesn't have to work if he doesn't want to.
He probably hasn't, like, necessarily, quote, worked.
Yeah.
Everything he's doing is like he just wants to do. It's like, it's something I want to do. Yep. He doesn't consider anything work anymore. Must be nice. So, that, I thought that was one of the best scenes. Yeah, and then also, I did enjoy the Lando introduction.
Yeah, yeah, where he's
the card
cards.
Or what do they call Baraka?
Saraka?
Sabaka? Sabra hummus.
It was
entertaining as you can make a scene about people playing a card game that is completely made up.
Mm-hmm.
They're just throwing cards, and I was like, oh! Throw that. Oh! The chips being passed back and forth. Showing drama through card playing is just so ridiculous. But that one of my favorite movies, Maverick, does that.
Exactly.
The movie ends with big dramatic card reveal. Like, oh my god, how they do it? Because it's a movie, that's how but it was good. A good scene. He tries to, but then it's also kind of a silly scene because that's how he meets Lando, and he's like, "I got my ship, which he doesn't have. I want to put up against your ship. He gets him,
which is impounded.
Which is impounded. Million Falcons impounded, doesn't it? And he loses." So Han's like, give me your ship. He's like, I ain't got no ship. And then...
And Kira shows up.
And then Kira shows up. He's like, we need your ship. And Lando's like,
cool. Lando already knows Kira, so...
Yeah, they already know each other. Yeah. So he's like, cool, you got it.
So that was all for nothing.
What was all?
Yep, all for squat.
This movie's long. That was 10 minutes for nothing. Like, my butt was hurting by the end of that movie.
But you had to get introduced to Donald Glover.
Could have found another way to do it without a manufactured drama.
And L7. And we got to see L3. Clint Howard.
L3 is probably listening to L7. Yeah. And then he gets Clint Howard. Yeah. And then L3 is like, wake up, you droid. Yeah. Fight for yourself. Because there's like a weird droid battle underground thing. So, that's how they all meet up, get on the Falcon. And then part of the thing is like, so their initial heist to get the coaxium failed miserably.
Yep. Because it was sabotaged by
the rebels.
Well, the marauders.
They're calling them marauders.
And pirates.
Yes, pirates. By the pirates who were trying to snake it out from under them. And that scene is when Thandie Newton dies,
mm-hmm.
which is Woody Harrelson's Beckett's love interest and partner, and
John
Favreau's character dies. And then, but once he dies. That's when I realized, oh, that makes sense. Han Solo is calling himself a pilot. He wants to be a pilot. So any other character in his vicinity that is also
knows how
a
to fly
pilot
is going to die.
Will die.
Yeah. Because he has to be a pilot.
So that's why L3 then ends up dying and Lando gets shot because, like, well, they can't. He has to fly the Falcon. So, yeah, these guys got to be taken out somehow. It's a ridiculous movie. It's ridiculous trying to recap all this shit just so that they can get Han and Chewie in the Falcon together to be like, let's go meet this Jabba guy. All of you don't know his name.
Yeah.
That's all it really is. They should just cut to that movie. I feel like this movie is all meandering BS. That's when they're like, we need coaxium. The only way to get it is this unrefined shit. Or else the Crimson Dawn's going to kill us. So we need to get unrefined coaxium and take it to this other place. The only place where it can be refined.
And to do that, we have to go to,
Kessel.
Kessel. And then we have to do the Kessel run.
Yeah.
Because there's all this weird space fog that you have to go through. And you can't do light speed, so it takes minimum 20 parsecs.
Yeah, you can't do it in any distance shorter than that because of the...
the maelstrom.
How did they describe it? It was like within the fog, there was like planets slamming into each other, and it was like a real fucking...
No, outside. Yeah, within the fog, yeah.
Yeah.
But this is basically... Like,
so you got,
there,
that's why you
gotta
go through the tube in the middle.
Yeah, like there is this infinite garbage going around. We found a crack in the garbage.
That we can navigate through.
So we put some lights in there, and it's stable, so we're good.
But he's like, no.
But we don't know what any anything in there, whatever, man.
So when L3 is all like, I got all these maps in my brain. So when L3 gets blown to bits, they just take out her memory, stick it inside the Millennium Falcon. Lando's like, she's part of it now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they fly into the fog, and they're like trying to navigate through all the shit to get to...
While being chased by TIE fighters because they started a robot revolution on a mining planet.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. She started a robot revolution. So an Imperial blockade shows up. So they had to cut through anyway before they can even get the map navigating thing set up. And TIE fighters chase him through. They're like, it's a big excited scene. Pew, pew. He's flying the ship.
And then probably the
coolest... Chewbacca gets in the co-pilot seat for the first time.
And then probably the coolest part of the whole movie. Mm-hmm. The giant space monster.
And then they...
What the fuck?
Giant space monster just starts squid chasing
thing.
After him.
Giant space monster squid demon thing.
It's like, oh, you awoke this thing and now it's coming. Now it wants to eat your face.
And then they find the maw.
The maw, which is
a gravity well.
A gravity well. What is it, like a black hole? Black hole, basically. Yeah. And so Han gets the monster close enough to start getting sucked into it. So probably the best shot of the movie is it being like partially devoured by the maw.
Well, no, I mean it's
and then it's like reaching forward, dude, and then you can see the Millennium Falcon really tiny, like also trying to be pulled, being pulled in by the gravity, and trying to fight its way out.
At the very end, I was surprised that they went there with it because they really like the creatures. Flesh got pulled off its skull before first. It went in there.
Yeah, it went.
Yeah, I was like, whoa!
Yeah, that was shocking.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was similarly impressed by that. It went, and it's like, whoa! And it's like, ah! And it couldn't pull off the rest, and then it was just like, skull.
Yeah.
And then the skeleton got pulled in and disintegrated. And I was sitting next to the children.
You know exactly. I'm just like, whoa.
The movie's PG-13. They're making these side movies PG-13. Which would be interesting for the Boba Fett movie.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting next to, like, six-year-olds. Like, these are children.
Children.
I wanted to ask him. I was like, whoa, what was the trailer we were watching? And they were talking about, it was the Ant-Man trailer.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Fishburne was like, I got the 21 feet. And Ant-Man was like, I got the 65 feet. And then, can you stop talking about, the sizes or whatever? And I wanted to lean into the kid and be like, you know, they're talking about their penises. That's what they're talking about.
It's a dick joke.
It's a dick joke. You're going to, when you grow up.
There's going to be a lot of them.
You're going to want a big penis when you grow up. I mean, you're going to want to have a big penis. I mean, you're going to want to be endowed with a, you know what? Enjoy the movie. you can eat that popcorn.
Yeah, and actually, that whole scene with them getting, the monster getting pulled into the gravity well, and then them having to spark the
fusion coaxium reactor
with the raw coaxium, and they almost get sucked into it, and then all of a sudden it gets fucking, like, it sparks and goes, and it almost creates, like, do you see, like, the weird little space-time rift it almost made? Like, it was fucking insane.
It was
almost like a couple of those very cinematic shots from Thor Ragnarok, where it was very long, panned back, almost slow motion.
Big, wide shots.
Wide, super pretty. Mm-hmm. It was like the best shots from the last Star Trek movie. The last Star Trek movie.
Actually, you're right. That Star Trek movie
surfing on that those weird things.
Yeah, or the shots when it's traveling through in like light speed or hyperspeed, whatever they call it. Yeah, you're right.
Reminded me of that.
You know what? I think the Kessel Run may have been one of the things I was dreading the most in terms of fan service, and it worked. They made a way for it to work in a story and to make it be like, oh, I understand why they're doing this, and it's not cheesy and terrible. So I'm getting amended now, like the introduction of Chewbacca. I think the Kessel Run
worked.
I think it worked as well. Yeah, that's pretty cool. That was good. So they do it, and they get they do the run. I said it again, and then they if you say it three times, doo-doo appears. Oh, you got to be in the bathroom with the lights off, looking in the mirror. You shit your pants. That's a tip for the constipated. If you want to, if you need relief,
gotta go.
If you need relief, they get to the planet to refine it. They refine it, and before they can take it back to the Crimson Dawn to pay off their debts, the pirates show up. Reveals that the pirates are actually
rebels
from people from all sorts of races and species who have been affected by the Empire.
And we also learn that the crime syndicates are working with the Empire at that point in time.
Yes, crime syndicates are evil, like the Crimson.
Yeah.
On and Vision. So that leads us to our big scene at the end where they gotta find a way to trick the Crimson Dawn and to getting the fuck away from them so they can give the coaxium to the rebels, and that's like all the fight scenes and blah 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 and all that. So that's when
Emilia Clarke, Khaleesi kills Vision.
Khaleesi kills Vision.
And then becomes the new Dark Lord.
Yes, because then when everyone is gone, she's like, go find Chewbacca.
Yeah.
All right, take 42. Go find Chewba.
All right, cut. we already had the last part of that. We'll just stitch together in post. So next.
Just cut out the gears grinding. We're good to go.
Yeah.
And then she grabs this ring, pulls up Darth Maul. It's like, she's like, sit, sit, sit. Pick, he's exact, like, sit, sit, sit.
Pick, exactly, calls up Darth Maul, completely fucks up the timeline.
There's gotta be an explanation. And, meanwhile, Han meets up with Beckett, shoots first, kills him. Beckett's like, I love you, bro.
He's like, good thing you shot first, because I was gonna kill you.
It's like, you learned something, and then...
And by the way, you'll have to use this in another movie.
Keep doing this over and over. Don't let anyone tell you that you didn't. And then him and Chewie. Did they have the Falcon at that point? Yeah, because he went it. First, it shows him going to.
Well, no.
Because he goes to Lando and gets.
He kills Beckett. He kills Beckett. Emilia Clarke goes away.
Yeah.
Immediately, they go to somewhere tropical world where now
to Lando.
Yeah, where Donald Glover now has tropical shirt and cape.
Yeah.
Like Caribbean style.
He has so many capes. Yeah, he can adapt to any environment. I would love to see his trench warfare planet cape and shirt. Yeah. Probably would be pretty cool.
Pretty camera. Awesome. Yeah.
And Han Solo knows about his little like card up his sleeve trick. Yeah. That's how he beat him the first time. So he steals the card from him. Sits down to play. Bets the Falcon, wins it because he took the card.
Yep.
Lando couldn't cheat. And then him and Chewie are like, all right,
let's go Tatooine. We gotta hang out. We gotta go meet Jabba the Hutt, even though we're not gonna call him Jabba the Hutt because we don't know what his name is yet.
Let's go meet this gangster on Tatooine that Beckett told us about before he betrayed us.
Mm-hmm.
Because he betrayed him.
Yep.
That's why he had to kill him.
Everybody betrayed
him. I think we forgot about that part. Everyone's betraying and lying, and they're all a bunch of liars and crooks and thieves in this movie. Every single one of them. Yep. Solo's the only good guy. And he's a rapscallion.
He's not a good guy.
And he's not a good guy. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good movie.
It wasn't bad.
I thought it was pretty good.
It's definitely better than Episode 8. I mean, it is in the better half of the Star Wars movies.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
I mean, obviously, Episodes 4, 5, and 6, I mean, they are held above the rest.
Okay.
I mean, and then in my eyes, it's like Rogue One.
Okay.
And then, for me, this is on par with probably the last one.
Last Jedi?
Yeah.
So Last Jedi, Solo, kind of equal, kind of similar?
Both had a lot of fan service.
Yeah.
A lot of that fan service was not good.
Well, Last Jedi had a lot of,
reverse
fan service.
It had a couple, both of them had some cool scenes and ideas.
Right.
So.
The more original stuff was
The more original. Stuff. Anything. Anything that they do that's original. I seem to like the more original stuff.
It seems that way. Why don't they, just do...
Instead of calling back to the past bullshit.
Why his name is Solo.
New stuff. Yeah, I don't care.
Why does it gotta be Darth Maul? Why can't we get a new...
Another Sith Lord.
Just make it obviously a Sith Lord. Like,
yeah. That's all I gotta do. I mean, the Sith are kind of easy to point out. They wear all black. They got the red sabers.
Yeah. She could be like my lord. You're like, oh, shit.
And it's boom, Sith.
Right.
Or why not just talk to Emperor Palpatine? Oh, yeah. Yeah, because at that point in time, if the Empire is the Empire, then we already have Emperor.
He's an Emperor.
Then we have an Emperor.
And he is a Palpatine.
And he is a Palpatine.
He is a Palpatine.
In which case, like I said, Darth Maul fucked everything.
Which up. I thought it was going to be Emperor Palpatine. Now, look, they got a CG Emperor Palpatine.
Nope, they got CG Darth Maul who's supposed to be dead.
Fat faced Darth Maul is supposed to be dead. Maybe it's his ghost projection. His force projection. His Sith force projection.
Maybe it's his fat brother.
Dude, Sith. Maybe it's his fat older brother. It's like, I want revenge. But first, I'm going to eat the sandwich. Yeah, you know, I like that. I thought it was good. A lot of O's.
The only thing...
A lot of O's, yeah.
I don't like prequels. Because...
It takes away a lot of the drama.
Almost all the drama is gone. It's like, you know, the Millennium Falcon doesn't get eaten by the monster. Why? Because there's a Millennium Falcon in the movies.
Yeah.
We know that Han Solo doesn't die because I know when he dies.
Yeah. We have a timeline. We have that.
No, it's like all of these characters, any of the characters that are important in the later movies, nothing bad can happen to them. Everybody else, I'm just going to assume that they're going to die.
I don't need no prequels. You're right.
So
yeah, you're right, man. I'm tired of these prequels. Give me something new. It could be in the same universe, some of all the same stuff, but new though.
Yeah.
Remixed. Yeah.
You know, you can reference what happened in the past. You know, be like, something, something, something. I don't want to be a pussy-ass Skywalker.
Oh.
Blah, blah, blah. Because Skywalkers are such vaginas.
Yeah, I saw someone suggest online. This is essentially, I don't know what his name, Antonioni. Michael Antonioni? This movie, The Passenger, it's essentially this plot. But James Mangold, who did The Wolverine and Logan, mm-hmm. he's doing the Boba Fett movie. And I saw someone suggest this online, and now this is the movie I want to see. And if this isn't the movie, I'm not going to like it. A scavenger goes into the Sarlacc pit and pulls out Boba Fett's armor, puts it on, gets recruited as Boba Fett, and goes off like on a mistaken identity journey as this legendary bounty hunter. But he's not really Boba Fett. He just has his armor.
I like it.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
I like it.
They're not going to make that movie, though. They're going to make some stupid bullshit where it's like, oh, you got this gun, and he got this scarring on his armor happening from this battle.
Boba Fett's just a clone.
Yeah, we already know Boba Fett's story. That's why it better be something totally different. God, that's so dumb.
I mean, now I just want to see, or how about this? Instead of like you said, some dude goes in, blah, blah, blah. Same startup. But more Mad Maxy. Stayed on Tatooine.
Oh, that'd be fun too, yeah.
Keep it dirty and dusty and desert.
James Mangold makes this version of a Mad Max movie.
Yeah.
The Obi-Wan movie is apparently moving forward. And
please tell me it's just a fucking Akira Kurosawa samurai flick.
That's what they're...
with lightsabers.
well, a desert planet on Tatooine, so it's essentially going to be Western...
Western Samurai.
Samurai Western. Like the truest mixing of those two genres.
With lightsabers.
Yeah.
I'm totally cool with that. Like, these are the kind of Star Wars movies that I want to see. You know, keep it in the universe, but, you know, give people the free reign to make their movie in your universe.
Yes. Yes. Something interesting and cool and different. Sort of like what they're doing with the Marvel movies in terms of Ant-Man was a heist. And,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Winter Soldier is a political...
thriller. Exactly.
Yeah. If they can do some more like that instead of trying to... And then they are trying to, like, stylistically keep episode 1, 2, 3, 4. Keep that separate from these A Star Wars story. A Star Wars story. Trying to keep all those separate.
Yeah.
Rogue One was kind of a war movie.
Yeah.
This one was... what would you call this, though?
It's an intro.
It's
an origin story, Chris.
God, I hate that genre.
This is Star Wars Origins Han Solo.
Yes. I hate that. Movie was fine enough. I was never, aside from the involvement of Lord Miller and their creative choices, which included, like, you know, casting Glover and all that stuff. I was into it. I was like, I don't like the idea of a solo movie, but, you know, with them doing it, I'm into it, and they're out, and then I lost a lot of interest, and going into that kind of medium expectations, and I guess it sort of exceeded those expectations, but they weren't that high anyway, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I wanted to like it. I want to like every movie. I want to like every movie I sit down and watch.
Well, that's kind of the point. I mean, I'm not there to waste my fucking time, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there to be like, okay, let's do this.
This costs money. This costs time. I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to love this.
Yeah.
Change my life.
Please.
Instead, to be honest, I was
mildly entertained.
Mildly entertained. Like, by the end, my butt was hurting. And it was only Tarzan 15 minutes. Avengers is 2:36, and I was never...
It got me.
I was never aware of, like, butt muscle issues watching this thing.
Well, that's just because, I mean, Avengers Infinity Wars was just action, action. It was go, go, go. On to the next one.
But that solo had a decent amount of actions and stuff, and so on.
Yeah, something, it did.
There's something missing in there, story-wise, character-wise, that... Almost impossible to put your finger on these type of things.
Yeah.
Unlike your first watch, you know, but there's something there that's not right. But overall, I thought it was good. If I was going on a scale 1 to 10.
I'd give it like a 6, maybe 7.
6, 7. I was thinking 7-ish because on a scale 1 to 10 with Empire being a 9 and Phantom Menace being a 2. Yeah, it's 6.5, 7.
Somewhere around there.
Somewhere around there. Yeah.
Depending on the day and my mood.
Right.
Sometimes that fan service pisses me off.
It's so much of it.
And like I said, it's really lame to find out that all the coolest parts of Han Solo aren't Han Solo at all.
They're culled together from other things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we never got the backstory about his vest. I'm sure we'll get that in the next movie. And then his pants with the red stripe on the side. We're going to have to figure out that. Someone gave him those pants. He's like, I'm pantsless.
Oh, no.
And some cooler guy's like, apparently, you can have my pants.
Apparently, in the books, there's actually some badass story about the red stripes on those pants. Like, apparently, it's like a life-changing type event. Like, some horrific massacre or something, like he survived or supposed to.
Mm.
That's what those are supposed to, at least in the books. But now that all that is no longer canon, I'm sure it'll be something lame.
Well, like, just because it's no longer canon doesn't mean future movies can't then dip into those books and then pull what they want from them and then, you know, ignore other things and stuff like that. That's always possible. So we gotta get that. We gotta get the backstory on his haircut. How did he decide on that haircut? Why did he keep it for so many decades? Because he apparently never changed it.
I want to know the true lifespan of a Wookiee now.
Hundreds of centuries, apparently.
Yeah, because apparently Chewbacca's 190, so...
190, yeah.
And he's sticking around. I mean, he's...
He's still in movies now.
He's still in, so...
Battling.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
So, I mean... So, tack on, like, another 60 years?
Yeah, 250. By Damn. Jedi. Last Jedi? The Last Jedi. 250, 260.
Damn!
But those are space years. So he's like 280, 290. But they're space Wookiee years. So he's more like 320. You know, like how you do the doll conversion?
Yeah.
He's old, man. He's old. Is there other fan service things that were annoying? I was surprised that they killed off Jon Favreau and Danny Newton so fast.
Real quick.
We were going to have it. Nope. The most Lord Millery bit, I felt like, maybe aside from L3, the most Lord Millery bit would be when, all in the beginning, him and Kira are in this land cruiser, and they got to get through the alleyway, and he's like, watch this, and he goes sideways,
yeah.
And then it cuts in close to them, and it's like, oh, looks like they're going through it.
And then it pans comes
back.
To a stop.
Yeah, it pans back, and you see the direction going very slowly, and then it just stops.
And stops.
It's like, damn, it didn't work. Yeah. That's really funny.
Yeah, it's very Lord Miller.
But then nothing, there's really nothing much like that outside of the L3 stuff, I guess.
No.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, well, still good enough.
Yeah.
Good enough.
And Lando having that super sexual vibe about everything.
He was a sexy dude. Even him and that droid were like, oh, we tried to make it happen.
Oh, you know, oh yeah, they totally, they definitely did.
They had a drunk night together.
Or two.
Very awkward there. Pansexual.
Yes. 100%. Robots included. He does not care. It doesn't even need a heartbeat, Chris. I was in my head, I'm like, okay, so if it's got a heartbeat in the hole, Lando's into it.
No.
Nope, doesn't even need a heartbeat.
He just
doesn't even need a hole.
He's into personalities.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Weird. Alrighty. So I guess that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
I guess
that's it. All right. Well, let us know what you thought of the movie Cinema Crespediso at gmail.com, and we'll read it on the show. Keep it spoiler free, and we'll read them in our normal episodes. Okay, so that is it, Drew. Thank you.
That was a really weird intonation on that sentence, Chris.
You don't like the emphasis on that one?
You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
All right, that happens sometimes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone, for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. I'm going to have them cut all the gears grinding and squish everything together.
Sure you will.
Yeah. It says 52 minutes, but the episode will be like 30 minutes long.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's what you say. It's a lie.
It's a lie. They're lies. All right.
PFT Media Production.